Morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday conference call, coffee, tea with me, and today the subject is diet. Now, we've had a dietary section, maybe 3-4 years after we started. Over the course of time, we've done 6 different calls over the 12 years on diet. And as the disease has mutated and changed, and the website has been altered to compensate, well, the diet has changed as well, because the more we learned, the more we wanted to put into play. But the one thing I'm going to say about diet is that everybody's body is different. And no matter what might be good for the majority of our group, it may not be good for you. So whenever you incorporate something new into your diet, go to the dieting principles where it says slow and steady, and only eat a tiny little bit of what it is the first time, and wait 2 or 3 days, because if you eat the wrong thing, you're going to inhibit your duration anywhere from 5 weeks to 3 months. And to really emphasize that fact, someone who is in the 96.7% club, say hello and tell them. Own up. Be brave.
It's me. It's Terry. And Mel's absolutely correct.
Terry, Terry, take us off the speaker.
Okay.
We can't hear you clear.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We sure can.
Okay.
And I'm not picking on you, Terry. I want them to know it's true.
Yes. No, I know. I want to tell everybody. So I've been doing super fantastic in the 98%. And so I thought, wow, I'm feeling so good. I'm going to try some of this keto creamer in coffee because I love coffee. I haven't had coffee in almost 3 years. So I get my coffee and keto creamer, and I drink it one day. It was fantastic because I said, oh, great, this is good. So I do it the second day. And what happens? That night I get ready to go to bed and I have a rash on my complete abdomen from my neck to my waist. So
you have reached the maximum permitted for recording your message. If you are satisfied,
you have got to follow the diet.
All right, hang on. I'm going to have to mute everybody and unmute you, Tara, because we couldn't get a clear thing. There's too many background noise. Okay, Terry.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm not telling a story out of school, and I'm not trying to deprive people of anything that they would really enjoy. But if it isn't protocol friendly, and sometimes even if it is, it may not be right for you. And I told Terry, honey, before you do anything else, do me a favor. And what was that, Terry?
Call you and ask you if that's okay.
Right, because if she had to wait another 4 to 6 weeks before she could probably do anything she wanted again, food-wise, in moderation. Moderation is the key when you get better. But now she's going to have to wait an extra amount of time because she put herself backwards. But that won't ever happen again, because in 3 years, first mistake I know she made.
That's right.
No, I know it's right, honey. And thank you for being so brave, okay, and honest and willing to share what happened. All right, so now
of course.
Okay, good morning, Lee. 414, is that who is? Oh, wait a minute. I got to mute it. Let's make sure here. Good morning, Lee.
Hi, Mel. And hi, everybody.
Okay, welcome. Good morning, John. Good morning, John. You know, John B., Logos Nutritionals.
Good morning. I was hearing you are no longer muted, so I missed that. Thank you.
Who said you're no longer needed? Oh, you're no longer muted. Oh, okay, that's true. Now let me find my other buddy here. Okay, and good morning, Joe.
I'm here.
Okay. So, today's call, again, is all about diet, okay? And as I said, there's an evolution in the diet, as there has been in the protocol, so that we can keep up with the ever-changing toxicity and the effects that it has on us. I didn't have a diet when I was sick because there was no anything, no name for the disease when I first got sick, no website, nobody to talk to, until John called me one day and asked me if he could help, because the day before I was crying to the head of customer service, Jill, after years of knowing Jill, and telling her that they just told me I was going to die before Christmas. But anyway, everything has changed because everything, that's the most constant thing in life, quite frankly, is change. So I didn't have a diet. I ate like a rabbit. I chose to eat berries, nuts, fruit, only two at the time, strawberries and raspberries. And that was because my system didn't really respond. And in those particular berries, there's a high percentage of antioxidants, which I thought was going to outweigh whatever sugar might be in them. But I had, like I always said, one piece of chicken a week, one piece of meat a week, hamburger usually, kosher, and lots of eggs and different things, but more like people in the olden times used to eat, you know? And there was no bread, there was no soda, there was no candy, there was no ice cream, there was no nothing, okay? It was bland, and for some reason, it was right. Now, today, Joe or somebody found us this beautiful chart, a color chart, which is in either probably in the diet, conference call for diet has been changed to the 20th, but we move that around. And he's going to talk more about diet today. John joined us because I thought it would be great if he intermittently unmuted, interject with Joe. And then I invited Karen, okay, who realistically was responsible for the evolution of a forum thread called Delicious Recipes for Your Dining Enjoyment. And it's from 2020 and it goes back to 2016. And as this particular topic or thread or post evolved, more and more we got different recipes that we felt were okay when they were introduced. And we started to demand people send pictures because people will really usually try something that looks really appetizing to them in particular, okay? But Karen has been doing the sum of the parts finally after 3 years because of the fact that the schools are closed and she's had a lot of free time. She's been jamming the protocol exactly the way it's been laid out, I would say every day for over 3 weeks, and what I find is mostly she's sleeping because she's herxing, but she told me yesterday she felt the best she'd felt in 5 years. So I don't know if she's napping or if she's on the phone with her mama, who is living also in that area and has more difficulties with water and power and stuff, but hopefully she'll jump in here. Because I wanted her to talk about the beginning and the things that we learned, where we always say everybody's body is different, and which may be good for the entire group, might not be good for you. So, with that, I just want to welcome all the new people and tell them that Saturday's calls are recorded. Sunday prayer and fellowship is not. Many people do not pray in the first time they come to prayer, and that is quite all right, but we invite them to come and listen, and we invite them to partake in fellowship, where relationships and bonding is really, it's one of the keys to getting well, to have friends that you can talk to that are a few months in front of you, can help you understand what's happening. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, because right now most new people are terribly isolated because no one gets it, because no one else has it. Well, a Lyme person once told me many years ago, if you don't have Lyme, you don't get it. All right, enough said. Hopefully Karen will jump in, and if not, well, so what can I say? It's all good. So I want to go ahead and I want to go to John and let him do a little hello and maybe his thoughts. And then we want to go to Joe, who we have designated as our prime guest for today. So, John, good morning. How are you?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for inviting me to stop in. I'm definitely happy to do that. And I want to congratulate you on the fact that so many folks around the world are finally discovering, you know, what you're doing here. Thanks to that post that was that turned up, you know, in the last couple of days. On the one hand, it's certainly sad that this is needed, but on the other hand, it's definitely a blessing that it's here and that we can help people. So I congratulate you on your determination to hit it every day and just pour out your life into others for His glory. It's a beautiful thing, brother.
If you noticed in the post this morning, I said, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You and I know
no doubt.
Him. Most people
Amen.
Don't get it. They think we're a little, you know, out there. But I wouldn't be here without God. That's all. And most of the people here wouldn't be here if I wasn't here. So the glory goes to Him. And, John, I'm going to put you on hold for a second because the Houston Bombshell chef at the Four Seasons restaurant, Karen, come in.
Okay. You gave me so much to live up to. Okay, but I do understand two things before I get started. One is that I am, Mel has graciously allowed me to come in and do this whenever I have an opportunity. I'm in Texas, so of course you know what we're dealing with down here. And I just got a phone call with family members with burst pipes that are coming here. So I'm going to have to, you know, get off the phone after this. Okay, so the other thing is I tend to talk
I told now. Them that's where you were when you didn't.
Oh, man, I'm in vacuuming mode. Okay, so anyway, I tend to talk fast. I apologize for that. I'm in multiple meetings a week at my job where we have time limits. So I'm going to try to get a lot of information in fast. And the if you're new, and I'm going to direct this at new people because I know we have a lot of new people, and I want to really encourage them, just know that this call is recorded. So if you miss something in my talking fast, you can go back and you can hear it. Okay, so, and I would encourage anybody who's new coming in to get like a spiral notebook. Put some sticky notes in it, just write stuff down and, you know, organize it. Because there's a lot of information here. And it's real valuable to continue to keep on this site all the time because there's always new information. Okay, so food. My backstory, so you'll know real quick, I'm in my fourth year. I had a couple of years where I was not what we call in education infidelity with the protocol and some of the parts. So that's the first thing to really take note of if you're new. There are components to this. It's like a puzzle piece. So the picture, the puzzle, you know, every once in a while you'll think, oh, this is the part. It's all the parts and they work synergistically together. But you will go nowhere without the diet. Believe me, I tried it. So here I'm going to give you some big concepts and then tell you where to go look. Okay. First of all, this disease, the parasitic component of it, which I don't even like to say parasites, I call them pathogens. That's my PC term. Anyway, feed on sugar. So a lot of things that we eat turn to sugar. And so to limit that sugar, you've got a real fighting chance if you can starve them out. So you're going to hear the word keto a lot. And just know that everybody's body is different. You're going to find different things work for you, and you're going to end up with elimination things, and you might be able to eat some things with some carbs if it's a certain kind of thing, like let's say quinoa or maybe green apples or something other people you might have found on the internet can eat with this. You can play with that. When you hear the term keto, this is not with the intent to lose weight. It's the component of keto that gives you a tool to measure carbohydrates, net carbs, which will translate to sugar in your body. So think of it in those terms. There is a problem with a lot of us, not me anymore, but getting very thin. At one point, I was real underweight. So if you start thinking about, oh, no, I'm trying to gain weight, and then now you're putting me on something that's going to limit my carbs, there's ways to get that weight up. I'm living proof. Okay, so the concept is, when you're trying to limit this overall, and remember, everybody's different, is to count your net carbs, and there's a real simple formula for that. That is, you look on the package, if there's a package, or you look it up on the internet, just Google carbs in or nutritional information in, put in the food, and you're looking for two numbers. You're looking for the grams of carbohydrates per serving and the grams of fibers per serving. You subtract the fibers from the carbs, and that's your net carbs. So if you had an item you wanted to eat that had 9 grams of carbohydrate, but it had 6 grams of fiber, it would be 3 net carbs. Try to keep your net carbs 30 or under, 20 or under to 10. But you're going to also see a component on this diet that has, when you're looking at keto, if you're just doing that, because when John came in and told us about keto, I mean, I jumped in with both feet. If you're going on YouTube and finding, recipes and things, they're great. But remember, there's some things on those recipes we can't have. Like they might use Swerve or some kind of these alcohol sugar substitutes that we cannot have. I have found that I can use the stevia sweet drops, and those work really well for me. I like the taste of it. Some people don't, and they like monk fruit. Those are two things I've heard people that work for people without any reactions. But, you know, you're going to judge your body on reactions. So you're going to try to keep everything within that net carb range to just try it to start with. Then the other thing is I like to frame it in my mind as single ingredient items. So whatever you're going to cook with, check the labels. And if it has any kind of additives or any kind of extra stuff, try to figure out a way to get something different that represents that component of it that's just a single item so you don't get a lot of additives, because as Mel tells us, these are toxic diseases. So you've got a lot of things going on in your body. Now, for new people, I do want to stop here and encourage you. It absolutely works. It does. But you go through some, it's a mind game, because you go through some real discouraging pieces where whenever you start fighting it, it'll fight back, and then, or sometimes you'll start purging it, and then that's real frightening, and then you think it's worse. So you gotta really man the sails on this, and your biggest thing is to stay on this website and come to these conference calls when you know you're going through that phase. So because it's freaky, sometimes you're thinking, is this happening because I ate something wrong, or is it happening because it's working and I'm purging it out? So the way you answer that question is to really keep a journal and keep track of your food. And if you see patterns, then it can kind of answer your question. It might be something you can or can't eat. So really, I try to get, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to, which works really well when I do, you really try to keep things as clean as you can, grass-fed meats, organic, anything, single item, additive. So just keep it real clean and just start off with some basic stuff. Now, food guideline regulations, whenever you're thinking about storing foods, because you've got brain fog, you're exhausted, now you're having to cook stuff, you know, fun. Okay, so if you can find some energy or get somebody to help you with it, if you cook some things, you can keep things in your refrigerator usually up to 4 days is what safety guidelines say. If you make something and then you have some leftover, single serving quart-sized Ziploc freezer bags are great. They'll stack in any little teeny tiny freezer. You can probably look on the website and see some of those in my little freezer I had in my last house. It's just a regular little, almost apartment-sized refrigerator with a freezer on top, so it can be done. So plan ahead, cook ahead. There is a starter packet that Anna put together that is lovely, and it gives you a lot of ideas. It gives you a shopping list. My favorite thing is just to go shopping in the pictures on that, the thread that starts off with. I think they started in 16.
Right, delicious recipes for your dining environment from 2020 back to 2016, which is why you were here. You were the major builder when you came here in that thread, started putting the pictures, then made me make everyone else send pictures so people see if they liked what they saw. I mean, I remember when you made some kind of meatball pizza or something.
Yes, that was my hamburger pie. Yeah, you can make all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm a real... Huh? Am I talking too much, Mel? Just
no,
hit that mute button. Huh? Okay, so hit the mute button. I'm used to it. You will not hurt my feelings. Okay, so, but just to let people know, there's when you're looking at that website, you're going to see up in the top on the menu part where there's a food section. And just to know, because Mel is a one-man show, I cannot believe what this guy can get done. So to go through and edit all of those things is a really big job. So when you're looking at the newer incarnations of what we've learned from the diet, you can see things in that thread. For example, when I first started, I thought, before I learned about keto, that rice was something that wouldn't bother me. And technically, it didn't really bother me that much, but it did. Rice will turn, you know, it's a lot of carbs. And so I learned that was not a good thing for me at all. So if you see any recipes that call for rice, all you have to do is substitute cauliflower rice. You know, you have to squeeze a lot of water out of it when you cook it and stuff. But so there's some things. If you just keep those guidelines I was sharing with you in mind about counting those net carbs, single ingredient things, cooking ahead, making a plan, and then you're going to get bored with that like I did at first. So then you can really go in the recipes and say, hey, this looks pretty good. I'm going to make myself a snickerdoodle mug cake, you know. So you can find some stuff that's fun, and it'll work. But while you talk about your biggest control, well, I shouldn't say biggest, but a huge area of control that you can have control over this because you're feeling out of control, I know how that feels, is you get that diet under control, and you have got a good traction. And so I won't take the whole time, Mel. I just wanted to share those things I had thought about. And is there anything else you want me to say before you mute me?
No, I'd let you go back to vacuuming. But my one question is, was it your mother's pipes?
Not my sister. No, mom's okay, thank goodness.
Okay, well, I told everybody that you were on a call with a family member problem.
Yeah, we heard to turn the pipes off, which some of us did. I didn't have to because I have new PEX pipes. But a lot of people, when they turned it back on, then they found, you know, leaks. And so to get a plumber is hard right now. And I've got a big house. I'm excited they're coming, but I got a vacuum.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can't tell you how much I thank you for coming, especially since I know that it's really rough times there in Houston. Thank you. I always tell them, don't worry about losing weight or gaining weight. It'll change when you get better.
Yeah, the big thing is control the symptoms. Figure that out first. But, you know, you're eating real healthy. The other thing I forgot. Let me tell you this real quick because some people have had trouble. One of the components you're going to see on that keto diet, if you're looking up keto, you know, we talk about keto because it has that element of controlling the carbohydrates. But if you're looking it up, you're going to see people, their goal is to lose weight. So there's some kind of a chemical thing that they do with it where they add fat because somehow it circumvents the metabolism or something. I don't really understand it. But some people can't handle all that fat. You know, a lot of us have stomach issues because of the gut issues that started all this. So when you hear keto or you read keto in Mel's site, it doesn't mean go, you know, full-blown keto where you're eating like fat bombs and all that. It's really the element of it where you're controlling the carbohydrates to keep the pathogens from, you know, getting too happy. You want to kill them. And so then you get them knocked down and you, and I'm just trying to say this for everybody that's coming in first. They're like, dear God, what is this? Your overall plan is you got to get that body in fighting shape. So that's the supplements, and you got to do that for a while. Then you start the killers, okay? So you got to be in good fighting shape for the killers. The killers are the WPS and that extension and all that. And I'll tell you about it. But another thing, piece of that puzzle, is you can't have the thing you're trying to kill out growing when you're trying to kill it out. So that's where the diet comes in. There you go.
Got to starve it while we build you up to handle killing it.
Yeah, then you start playing your Rocky music whenever you're doing the killers. You'll live. It's okay.
All right. Thank you so much. You have a great day, a safe day, and my best to your sister. No, your daughter.
My sister.
Your sister. Okay, I knew it was somebody.
Yeah. All
right. Thank you very much. John, you want to add anything to what Karen said about the early years?
Well, thank you so much, Karen. That was an excellent synopsis, and what a blessing. You have been such a blessing to this community, not only for your determination to do your own research and share your knowledge with others, but just, you know, your willingness to be as open as you have been always about the mistakes you've made and the victories you've had. And it's just such a blessing. You're such a blessing to this community. Thank you, Karen.
She's gone, buddy.
No, I'm here.
Okay, I thought you were vacuuming already.
Well, I'm about to start, but somebody was talking to me, so I wanted to hear that.
Okay.
He said something nice, Mel. You know me and my ego. Okay, thank you. Okay,
yeah, thanks for making time to join us today, sweet lady.
Okay, well, thank you for your kind words, and good luck to everybody. Now I'm going to go turn on the 1980 Electrolux and get with it. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, what a blessing. Mel, I was... All I'd like to say is for, you know, a point of clarification. We do promote a weight loss approach that we call the Key Stasis Program with Logos, and it's just a matter of trying to shift metabolism in the body so that the body is not using glucose as its main ingredient for the production of energy at the cellular level. It shifts it over to using different molecules for fuel, and we call them ketones. And so the idea is to get the body off of the roller coaster ride of rapid, you know, increases in glucose followed by rapid increases in insulin, which our body uses to control that glucose. And that whole roller coaster ride that the American public is on because of their diet. The typical American diet is over 50% high glycemic carbs and only 12% protein and 37 to 40% fat. And a lot of it is unhealthy fats. So that's a horrific combination for long-term health and stability of our bodies and our metabolism. And so we recommend to people to people that are trying to break free from that roller coaster ride, that approach. But it's not a long-term plan. The long-term goal is to get people to where 50% of their diet is based on low glycemic carbs, 25% protein, and 25% essential fats, good healthy fats. That is a much better long-term, stable type of approach for most people. But before we get to there, we have to get our body, you know, back away from that roller coaster scenario that you have when you're eating the regular standard American diet. So the diets that you're promoting here do just that. They move people from that standard American diet approach through a process of getting us off of carbs as much as humanly possible, and especially high glycemic carbs, you know, refined carbs, and getting the body to where we can begin to not concentrate on weight, but concentrate on muscle mass and body fat percentage, things like that, that are much more instructive as to how healthy our body is. It boils down to, you know, what the ancients said, that let food be our medicine and medicine be our food, and just rejecting man's wisdom in these last days. We're besieged every day from our environment with toxicity. We're besieged from our diet, and we're exposed in every direction every day. So it becomes more and more important that we're providing the right type of support to our bodies,
that we are cleansing our detox pathways and basically restoring our ability to make energy at the cellular level. That is what Mel's protocol is all about. That's why it works. And it works for basically everything when you consider, you know, my father's philosophy of medicine for almost 40 years was that if you maintain normal physiology in the body at the cellular level, you'll prevent pathology and disease. He proved it in his own practice, and we're continuing to prove it, you know, years and years later now in the promotion of the products that we developed and the concepts that we're promoting. So it's really quite simple, but obviously when you get down to the detail level, it can get a little bit more complex, and that's why it's such a blessing to have Mel and all the resources that have been compiled on this website over the last 12 years.
All right, John. Well, all right, buddy. We're going to have you on the back burner here, and we're going to turn this over to Joe now because he's a man. Most men don't talk here a whole lot, okay? Most men are too shy to even come here. But he gets it, Joe. He was coaching his wife, and he wound up getting sick, which isn't unusual, okay? Because we have so many families where only one person gets sick and no one else in the house does. But then he took a more active interest. He's a researcher. I believe he was a bodybuilder and has been into nutrition for a very long time and has incorporated a lot of his ideas, which we had, and some of the ideas which we had that he didn't have. And I asked him to lead out on this show. So without further ado, let me introduce you to our man, Joe.
Thanks, Mel. Thanks, John. Those were wonderful, contributions to nutrition. Actually covers a ton of what I've had prepared, which is great because it can get me a little more focused and dialed in to peel back the layers with nutrition.
But as I always say, Joe, repetition is so important for newbies because of brain fog.
Absolutely.
So, hey, just do your whole show, buddy.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm going to go off of kind of what John did right there to go right into one of my key concepts here to break it back for those who aren't too overly familiar with nutrition, but how food functions in our body. So John mentioned this real briefly, but the food that helps our body function, they're primarily based on three what we call macronutrients. Those are made up of your proteins, your carbohydrates, and your fats. So what John was saying earlier with this form of ketosis and using ketones, he was exactly right on that. That's using more of the fat molecules or the fat macronutrients to use as energy to burn off. Whereas the normal diet and our normal body, the functions are wired to use our carbohydrates to burn off as energy. So that's what our body is primarily used to. It's using carbohydrates to burn energy. It's the most abundant source of energy. But obviously with this diet and this parasite in us, we want to get away from the carbohydrates. And here's why. Carbohydrates are primarily made up of sugars. And sugars is what breaks down into blood glucose in our body. That's what this thing feeds off of. So the whole part that Karen said, trying to defeat this disease, but allowing it to continue to grow, that's what she means by that. We need to change the nutrition because this thing continues to replicate and grow off of sugars in the body, which again, that's broken down with our carbohydrates. So then breaking that down a little bit more into different carbs. And again, John alluded to this. There's two primary categories of carbohydrates that it's really important to know. There's complex and simple carbohydrates. The complex carbohydrates, these are more of our natural, whole and plant-based or generally non-processed carbohydrates. These would be your whole grains, your brown rice, your brown quinoa, your brown pastas, your sweet potatoes. And again, that's something at the early stage of this, we still want to eliminate as much of that as possible, because at the end of the day, it still breaks down into that blood glucose or sugar. But what's really good with these complex carbs are your cruciferous type of vegetables. These are your filler vegetables, your broccolis, your cauliflowers, your Brussels sprouts, even some fruits. Fruits is a little bit different of a bear. We don't want to overdo fruit, because those are generally higher on what John called the glycemic index, meaning they break down into sugars much quicker in the body than we can actually get rid of. So fruits, something that needs to be played with a little bit with more caution. But these type of carbs, they're low in calories and very high in fiber. So back to what Karen said to support her comment, when you do that calculation, you want to get your net carbs. That's taking your carbs in grams minus the fiber she's talking about. The fiber is what really helps facilitate all the vitamins, nutrients, and minerals from those foods into our body. That supports all the other health areas in our body. So we want fiber in our foods. So these type of carbs, when you eat them, what happens is because of the fiber, they allow your body to digest and process that food very slowly. In other words, it's breaking down into that blood glucose at a very slow level that during your normal days of activity, your body is usually able to burn that off before it can stick. And that's why these type of carbs are so important, especially with those vegetables I mentioned, cruciferous vegetables. It's so important to continue pounding those into your body as much as you can when you can. And then as Mel talked about later on, after you've been on this for a while, and as he said, as you want to reincorporate something, you know, let's say, for example, you like brown rice, but you want to stay away in the beginning, maybe it's 6, 7, 8 months down the road, you're feeling you're gaining traction, then that's something to talk with Mel and potentially start reincorporating at a very small basis to see how that's going to impact you. Because at the end of the day, those are still really good foods for our body in general because of the fiber in it. Now, the other category of carbs, the ones that we want to stay away from at all possible, are called simple carbs. These were carbs that were originally those complex I talked about, like the grains. You know, when rice is born, so to speak, it's all brown to begin with because they're whole grains. But what happened was, these grains were processed in a way that removed the germ and the bacteria. And that processing was done years ago because when you take out germ and bacteria, you increase its shelf life. And that was something that needed to happen post-World War II, actually. That's how far food processing takes back to date. You needed more food to have a longer shelf life. You needed stuff that was easily, that could be easily be prepared, because women were actually going into the workforce. There wasn't time to cook all that type of food. And with the growing or the baby boomer population, you honestly could not continue sustaining feeding the population we had at that point and continue to growing without some type of interference, or call it food processing. So it dates back a long time ago, 50, 60, 70 years plus for processing. So that being said, when you process a grain, you're taking out all, not just the germ and the bacteria to extend its life, you took out all the nutrients from it. So what you're left with is basically a blood glucose ingredient or a simple sugar. So if you're to compare brown rice and white rice, eating a spoon or a serving of white rice, your body is going to digest it or process it very quickly, rapidly. You're not going to have a chance to burn that off, and there go the blood glucose or the sugar is broken down very quickly and sticks to the body. And again, we do not want that in our body. We want that out. So that's why anytime you hear processed, get rid of processed as much as you can. Reduce anything processed. It's usually because it's been broken down out of its original heart healthy elements into these other type of ingredients and additives that are not meant for our body. So that's my classification on how the body functions, and primarily with carbohydrates. And I just want to pause there. Go for it now.
I think that what you're talking about actually started because in the early 40s, they knew we were going to get into the war.
That's a good point to make, yeah.
Okay, and they had to do this, and they're going to have to ship all this stuff all over the world, now we got to extend these life shelf lives.
But
now I go back to the way I said, I was blessed in a way. There was no diet. And I chose to eat like a rabbit or a caveman or whatever you want, but not like everyone else anymore. Because I was positive the way I ate was part of the reason I wound up getting sick. I was positive. And now you talk more, like all these years later, about really going back more to the way I ate. The simpler, the better. And the more vegetables and salads and peppers and things like, the better. Because there's so much good nutrients in all these things. And for those who can't afford organic, I could never afford organic. I wouldn't even buy organic. But I learned to use a combination of water and vinegar mix, and then I would put a colander into the big, big pan that I made spaghetti or soup or whatever, and I would rinse all the veggies and fruits that way, and then I would reuse the water until it got too cloudy. So don't feel that you have to have a lot of money to be part of this, because you don't. You just have to learn all the tricks if you don't have a lot of money. And I can teach them to you. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Nope. That's very good input. Thanks, Mel. So knowing that type of information, and this is when I started learning with my research, well, shoot, that sounded very simple to me. So I asked a pivotal question. Why wasn't I taught this or shown this before? Because it's not taught. And that's where nutrition, especially today, is so complicated. So here's some different data points or research that I pulled up that points to why is it so complicated. From the medical industry, nutrition is, if any, it's almost not taught or non-existent in medical school. Of the 130 or plus different medical specialties or services that are provided when you go in to get something done at a doctor, that doctors get reimbursed, you know, for insurances, not one of them is labeled or classified as nutrition. So doctors don't have any incentive to make money off of it to begin with. So this creates a huge problem for us because it causes mass confusion. You know, if we're an average person that just ate what our parents ate and don't really understand it, for lack of a better reason, then you know, we're going to go off of that and go off of what media claims are out there. So we don't have any type of education on it. So then why is nutrition not taken seriously in medical profession? And here's a few points on that. Medicine, and I've talked about this before on other calls, medicine takes what's called a reductionist approach, meaning a single approach. It depends on drug therapy and third-person healthcare. Whereas nutrition is holistic. You take that whole plant-based food that we talked about, and it's going to help support a plethora of areas in our body, not just one single thing. So it's dependent and holistic dependent on comprehensive nutrition. There's also too much corporate interference. There's too much money and campaigns being put into drugs. You know, you can go on to Big Pharma and see, you know, it's a $50 billion industry or $100 billion industry every single year. So there's so much corporate interference, and with that, nutrition research and policy is seriously corrupted, honestly. And then at the end of that, we also tend to focus on individual nutrients as opposed to the whole food. Again, that whole reductionist versus holistic approach. So the amount of nutrients consumed in our body is not the amount that's actually functioning. It's a complex journey through the body. Whereas individual nutrients, they use multiple mechanisms to cause their effects, unlike targeted drug effects do. So if you think about an actual drug, you know, doctor comes and says, hey, you're deficient in vitamin D, here's a vitamin D pill, which again, vitamin D is great. But if that's all we take, or if that's all we do to address it, guess what? We're overloading up on one single area, and then we're becoming deficient in all the other areas. So if I took a vitamin D pill, again, it's good to support it, but if that's all I took and didn't have maybe a food that's high in vitamin D, like an orange, well, I'm also not getting all the other nutrients and vitamins that orange provides, that the vitamin D pill does not provide. So you start overloading up on one thing, and guess what happens? When you're lacking in the other areas, you're deficient in them, you get side effects, So what happens when you get side effects? You go into another drug, and then another drug, and then another drug. And you can look at this. This is all public knowledge information on how we're very drug dependent, opioids in general. And in the U.S. especially, we're one of the sickest countries out there right now, even though we have billions of dollars going into quote-unquote healthcare. So it's very corrupted, and it causes a ton of confusion. And that's primarily why nutrition today is very complicated. I want to pause there because I know, John, you and I have talked about this before, and you have a very extensive background. Does all that sound pretty appropriate? Was there anything else that you'd like to put in there for consideration?
Can you hear me? You're muted. Okay, I thought I was, whatever you call it. Joe, excellent information. Obviously, you know, you're looking at the most evolved financial infrastructure system on the planet. That's Big Pharma. And it's, you know, I learned the hard way really early on when I first took over for my dad with his business. I learned about, you know, that we're not working with a level playing field in terms of the scientific community and research community, because, you know, we tried, knowing what we had in thymic formula, we tried to do some double-blind studies and so forth, and in more than one location, we met with corruption and people whose hands were tied because the universities depend on Big Pharma for their funding. So in one case, they refused to do the work for me after I spent $10,000 on a IRB, Institutional Review Board. And in the other case, they actually did a study that was begun by my dad, and it was a study on hepatitis C. And lo and behold, the study finally came to an end, and they published a paper saying that thymic formula was found to be ineffective for hep C, even though even today we still have patients from that trial still taking thymic formula. I talked to one of them yesterday. It's definitely, you know, we're not dealing with a level playing field. The whole industry of the pharmaceutical industry is based on, like you said, a single ingredient manipulation of the body to trick the body and mask symptoms, which is exactly the opposite of what we're trying to do. We're trying to actually bring into the body the resources needed to reestablish appropriate function and balance. It's a completely different approach.
Okay, boys. Keep bad-mouthing them. They'll be at my front door any minute.
Oh, man. No, thank you, John. That's very, very thanks so much for that information, because I think you pulled it in perfectly right there at the very end. Is we're taking this approach because we need to rebuild something in our bodies that has been broken. And this is the only way in terms of food to do it, and with the proper support. I am not knocking supplements because we're on a protocol, but to bank or coat or to be so dependent on those that we're missing the importance of food in general. That's what we don't want to do either.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's got to be the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Utilized properly. Everything's about balance. Okay.
Yep.
John's daddy was all about balance. He created a wellness protocol. And let me tell you, those who got well here all were on it, and whatever other extensions, and the balance of the sum of the parts. And starting with me, there is a 12-year history of people getting well, basically following the same path with the changes made based on necessity. So, no, I'm not anting anything, but I don't take any prescriptions at 75. I drink beet juice instead of taking blood pressure medicine. And I haven't taken an antibiotic, I would have to say, since 2008. And I won't take them. I won't even get shots. And I imagine at some point someone's going to give me a hard time. But I don't need them. I'm on our basic protocol, plus a couple of additional things like Adam's Vitality and Joint Marvel for all the broken bones from car wrecks, airplane crashes, being run over, hockey games. And, you know, I'm the youngest 75-year-old man I know. I still weigh 200 pounds. And if I thought I wouldn't hurt myself, I'd try to play hockey some more. All right. Joe, back to you, buddy.
I love you, Mel. No, thank you. So then I just want to put a little bit more focus on sugar in general and why we have a sugar crisis, especially here in the States. One, it's a relatively cheap commodity, so it's cheap to come by. I covered the food processing in general that increases shelf life. Well, sugar is a binder. And in foods, for microorganisms and the bacteria that we talked about that need to grow, you need water for that. So when you start putting sugar in foods or adding to it, it binds the water and it doesn't allow space for that type of stuff to grow. So again, that's what increases the shelf life. So it's cheap, it was easy to put in, it was increasing the shelf life. Another area within sugar is, believe this or not, this is what I hate most of it, food companies, for the most part, and I don't think things have really changed, they can hide sugars. They don't have to put it in their ingredient label unless it's like actual cane sugar that they have to disclose. But sugar comes in so many different forms. Here's a little case in point or a tip for you when next time you're going to the store, go ahead or go online. Don't even go to the store. You can go online and look up a can of something and just get a food label on it and look at it. Go to the ingredients. If you see any ingredient, which most of them are so hard to pronounce anyway, and if it ends in the letters O-S-E, O's, like fructose, dextrose, high fructose corn syrup, glucose, lactose, maltose, sucrose, just an example of those are basically sugar alcohol. They break out in sugar. Those are ingredients. But food companies don't have to try and measure those gram for gram and put those in the category of sugar. So if you see a nutrition label and it says or promotes zero sugars and you see these ingredients, run away. Run away because it's crap. I just flat out, it's crap.
So can I add something here?
Absolutely.
From time to time in that delicious recipes section, and other places on the website where we probably had calls on diet, there are pictures that I put out of a sugar cube. And within X amount of time of putting out a sugar cube, it was totally covered by ants. Which is telling you that what I call the parasitic component of our disease will absolutely go apeshit and have the ability to multiply if you give it sugar. So we can't build you up and then poison this thing if you feed it by accident. It won't work. So what I've tried to tell most of my coaching customers is that take everything that you're going to eat and one at a time put it in a Google search and say, is this going to turn into sugar in the human body? And that's going to help you eliminate a lot of foods that you're not going to need or want. And Karen was talking about a food journal. Man, it is key. Almost every single human being who got well, finally, after I beat them up enough, started to keep a food journal. And when you watch the YouTube videos or We Were Warriors calls, you hear them all telling you, he beat me up till I kept a log on food. And they all got better because it's important. You must understand what is going on by what you're eating. All right, Joe, back to you, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mel. That's a great illustration or visual to have. You're absolutely right on that.
Hey, Joe.
The last thing. Yes, please.
You just said a couple of things that I really want to point out are so important. When you talk about sugars, you know, bottom line, everything we eat, if we're not if we're not in ketosis, everything we eat eventually is turned to glucose mm-hmm. to be used at the level of the cell. So glucose is the actual gasoline, if you will, that is fueling the body. Even protein is converted, can be converted into sugar, into glucose to be used for fuel. But the thing is, it takes a lot longer for the body to convert protein into sugar mm-hmm. than it does a refined carb. So I like to compare it to burning in a fireplace, burning tissue paper versus a log.
Oh, that's great.
Tissue paper, it just burns right up really fast because it's such high energy, right? But then what you're left with in no time at all is just ash, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone. That's exactly what refined carbs do in our body. And it is very damaging, and it causes that ash in the body, causes acidity that you know, I've explained before, we have to break down our bones to deal with. And it causes, mm-hmm. Calcification and all those other degenerative changes that we see in the body. But if you look at for example, I just pulled up a famous cereal product, Honey Nut Blank, that everybody knows what it is. And it says, they actually make the claim on the box that it can help lower cholesterol. Now, I guarantee you there's nothing about these refined carbs in here that lowers cholesterol. If there's anything in here that would, it would be the niacin that they add. So that's probably how they're able to make that claim. But my goodness, this product has ingredients. The first ingredient is whole grain oats, but then you got sugar, that's sucrose in this case, corn starch, another sugar, honey, a natural sugar, brown sugar syrup, salt, and then it starts getting into the thing. The whole daggum thing is sugar. And they're selling as a product to lower cholesterol. It's crazy. That's what we're up against.
Well, I believe that the two greatest killers on earth are anxiety and sugar, which somehow both create the same endorphin, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's exactly, Mel, hold on, that's exactly where I was going.
Oh, you're kidding me. You mean I'm getting smart in my old age?
I was going to tie that last thing into what Joe said, is that the reason they do all this, the reason these things are put in there, is because they're setting up cravings in the body. Because your body literally craves these types of sugars. It stimulates the same endorphins that opiates do. So there's no accident that the American diet has shifted from what we grew up with to what we have now. And it's no accident that we lead the world in degenerative illness because of it. Joe, you're doing a fantastic job. God bless you. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, John and Mel. And it's funny because, John, you're loving up on Mel because you were leading right into that, and I'm loving up on you because, maybe said in a different way, I've used that exact illustration before when I coached my peers with nutrition, was the whole grain Cheerios. I've used that example and exactly proved, or not proved to say, but I said exactly what you did. Here's a claim saying it's a good source of fiber and health and heart healthy, if you will. But for those exact reasons you went into with the ingredients, why it completely debunks those claims and why it's nothing but sugar. So that is a great illustration because I've used that many times.
Well, Joe and John, what do you say we open it up to questions?
Yeah, I mean, that was really all I had left for mine, so yeah, I'm open.
Good. All right, so let's start with Martin, who's new. Martin, welcome. Do you have a question about what we talked about today?
Not really a question so much. I went to medical school for 2 years, the two first academic years, in other words, before the clinics. And I found that they offered at the University of Colorado Medical School back in 1976 through 80 when I was there, a one-credit course in nutrition, which covered exactly and only vitamin deficiencies and what happens, like scurvy and things like that. And my own diet has to do with starting with raw vegetables that I get from the store and cooking them myself. I don't eat out if I can help it. And my nutrition has been really good because I was married a couple of times. The second wife was actually she was an expert nutritionist and cook and stuff. So she could pretty much turn leftovers into a gourmet dinner. That was the first one. I had to teach her how to boil water. But as far as the nutrition goes, there's also another thing I'd like to add, and that is Dr. Batman G-H-E-L-I-J, Batman Gelig, or whatever you want to call it, your body's mini cries for water. That has to do with why you get cholesterol in your bloodstream. Basically, if you're getting more cholesterol in your bloodstream, it's because the water level in your bloodstream is going down and it's trying to steal the water from the cells. In order for the cells to keep their own water, they have to plug the water channel holes with cholesterol. So, of course, the cholesterol also...
Martin, let me stop you, okay?
Yeah.
We have, every month, once or twice, we talk about water here. Everyone who is not new knows all about water from our buddies that have been here in the past, including Donald, who is always telling everyone the formula for water. But let me welcome you and tell you to come tomorrow. We have prayer and fellowship. Most people who come at the first time, they don't pray. They just listen. But when we get to fellowship, you'll be able to talk to everybody and ask a lot of questions that you can get answered for free. But I'm glad you're here. And it sounds like that you really are on a similar path as we are. So I invite you to stick around and join us more.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you, buddy. Okay, next, Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Any questions on today's show?
Yeah, maybe just a couple. I was just wondering about, how about drinking coffee or tea, as long as you don't put sugar in it?
Well, I'll answer the coffee. No coffee, at least for a good while. And we want you to find all the good antioxidant teas. And if you put coffee in my search engine, if you're part of the monthly $5, and then you put teas, sing one at a time, it'll talk all the posts ever made about coffee and coffee substitutes from beans or nuts, and then it'll talk about all the teas and the ones that people found to be most beneficial.
Okay. How about multivitamins?
Huh?
Multivitamins.
Once you decide that this is the right place and you're going to follow our protocol, you're going to have to give up what you're doing because you can't mix protocols. You'll create an imbalance. Our protocol of different manufacturers' products create a synergy that works. You upset the balance of that synergy, I got no idea. I just know that there have been a lot of people who have had better ideas as they got close to getting better, almost well, and then they wound up sticking around another year or so.
Okay.
So no mixing protocols. If we're the right people for you, you'll make that decision. You can put your multivitamins, give them as a gift, because once you get your hands on our protocol, you'll never need anything else.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions real quick?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so let's see. I think that's you, Karen. You got a question? Come in, laughing bird. Oh, she hung up on us. Did she? Yeah, maybe she couldn't talk. I don't know. All right. Let's see. Adam, 503. Adam, come in, Adam. You got a question?
Yep. Sorry, just had to unmute. No pressing questions at the time. This week I took my dehydrator out of the basement, though, and I've been making crackers with chia and flax seeds, and made some yesterday, and they turned out fantastic, so I'll try to put the recipe up on the forum pretty soon if anybody wants to do that.
We might have some excuse me, I'm always drinking coffee and trying to talk. I'll never learn. Anyway, we have probably some recipes in that forum under that delicious recipe post that has some things about that. So you might check that out. But hey, if yours was good, you take a picture and I get to put it on, you send it to my email, you make the post in the forum, and if you need to know how, well, we'll go over it on Monday. Okay? Or we can even go over it tomorrow during fellowship if we have a bunch of new people so everyone can learn at once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yep. Got any other questions real quick?
Nope.
Okay, well, thanks for coming. I hope I see you hear from you tomorrow. All right. Brady Bean, is that you?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the show, but I have no questions at the moment.
Oh, thank you. Do I have any emails with instructions?
Steady.
Steady. Okay, thank you, dear. Good morning, Tia. Any questions?
I don't have any questions. I'm just thankful for John, for Joe, and for Karen for all the information they're sharing. It's so good for the new community members, especially, to really get an understanding of what it takes. And so, yeah, I'm just really thankful to be on the call today.
Okay, well, we're happy to have you, honey. And you know how proud I am of you and how much progress I've watched you make with all the different hurdles you've had. So just keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
And don't call me at dinner time, please. Thank you.
Maybe.
All right, another one from across the sea. Come in, Scotland.
Hi there. I don't have any questions, but I just want to say thank you to Joe and to John B. and Karen, you know, for giving such excellent advice, particularly to the newbies. And I wanted to say as well, yeah, I mean, people can sometimes be quite hungry when they start with, like, you know, lowering their carbs, but things like cauliflower rice, it's just wonderful, actually, you know, and it's a great substitute for rice. And, you know, like Joe said, the cruciferous vegetables, your steamer would be your best friend, you know, and a big plate of broccoli and cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. I mean, one of Mel's favourite meals. What is it, Mel? You cook your Brussels sprouts in garlic and Kerrycold butter, and it's one of your favourite things. You absolutely love it, don't you?
Yeah. Especially when I burn it just a little.
Really? Well, I love the cauliflower rice. It's brilliant, and it really is very filling as well, which is so important. You don't want to be hungry. And I mean, I even found, you know, I even found a bread in Holland and Barrett in the UK recently called Living Seedful Organic Loaf, and it's got no gluten, no dairy, no yeast, no flour. And it's mostly made with, like, seeds and, like, apple cider vinegar, Himalayan salt, things like that. It's only 3 grams of carbs for one slice. And you toast that, and you could have it with some Kerrygold butter. You know, absolutely delicious. And also really filling and also very good for you and no nasties in it. And so things like that, if you find something like that, it's kind of like a game changer, things like that in the cauliflower rice, and just like, and you'll get used to it, you know, and you can eat lots of eggs and things and good protein sources. You can have lemons and limes. You can make nice drinks with the lemons and limes. Fresh ginger is very good. It's antifungal as well. And the lemons and limes help with your, you want to keep your body more alkaline, so the lemon and limes help with that. Lots of garlic. You can add spices to things. Coconut cream is a good thing, or, you know, coconut, different coconut things. As long as it's not got any added sugar or anything, you know. So so you can make sauces with, you know, a little bit of spices with a good protein source, cauliflower rice, things like that. You can make things delicious. It just takes some time. Avocados, you can have them. You know, lots of things like spinach, you can have cooked or have it, you know, have it as a nice salad, baby spinach and basil salad with a nice protein source and some cauliflower rice, and squeeze some lemon juice on it, a wee bit of sea salt, or you can have extra virgin olive oil, you know. You can just ring the changes, just keep it pure as possible, you know, eat the way nature intended us to eat the way our ancestors ate, and just, you know, you watch it if it's in a packet, you know, it's amazing how much rubbish is added, you know, additives and nonsense that are not helpful. Like John and Joe said, really to feed the coffers of the, you know, the big companies. They're making a lot of money out of us. So, yeah, keep it as simple as possible. Watch your carbs, and you can make nice soups as well, you know. And roasted cauliflower with some coconut oil and some spices is lovely. And, you know, just find your way. Stay away from peanuts. They are full of mycotoxins, but you can have almond butter, you know. So, you know, you'll find things. You'll find ways to tantalate your taste buds. You don't need to go without. You don't need to be hungry. And soon it'll become second nature, and get rid of anything in your cupboards you're not supposed to have, because you, like everybody said today, you ain't going to get better unless you eat clean, you know, and your body and your mind and everything will thank you for it, and you'll see a difference, you know. So, you know, happy eating and just exploring it all.
All right, Chrissy. Now, for those who are brand new, this is what she does when she doesn't have anything to say. So, I ran to the kitchen and got a cup of coffee because I knew we were going to still get a story. Chrissy, I love you, and so does everybody else. I mean, it's just so amazing. But I got to go back across the ocean here, because I remember that although this young lady refused to talk, once she talked for the first 3 or 4 months, every time she did talk, she talked about diet. Hey, what happened to you today, Freddie?
What happened to me today? Well, I think everything's been covered. So oh. I would just be repeating everything. So I'm just enjoying listening, actually, today.
All right, so I won't bug you. Thank you, dear. All right, let's see, where were we? Ah, Donald. Come in, Donald.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Joe and John, and, of course, you, Mel, and Aaron's tutorial was wonderful as well. The question that I have is, how does cortisol turn into sugar?
Well, that one's over my pay grade, but there are a lot of people who can explain that. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, Joe.
Joe, you want to take a stab at that?
I'm with Mel on that, on above the pay grade. I'm not as familiar with the cortisol. But if you got anything, John, that'd be great.
Yeah. Well, cortisol itself doesn't turn to sugar. It just promotes sugar being stored as fat, along with other nasty things that cortisol does. Cortisol is a hormone that is related to stress and other things, but mostly stress, and which is why we market our anxiety product. It targets cortisol in the body, lowering cortisol, promotes not only the storage of sugars into fats, but it promotes other harmful things in the body. So that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. But, Mel, while I've got the floor, can I point out something I think that people should know, especially newbies?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is, when we're talking about a shift from a lifetime of eating the American diet, high in carbs, low in fiber, and all of that, when we're talking about a shift, a major shift towards higher fiber and lower carbs and all that, and eating natural things like nuts and seeds and so forth, this is a major shift in terms of our body's metabolism and our digestive system. And one of the things that can happen, especially in people over 50, if you start pounding them with fiber, they can actually develop issues like diverticulosis. And so it's very important to not just start slamming fiber, large amounts of fiber, you know, like putting it into your smoothies and stuff like that. You can't go from 0 to 60. You got to move in slowly with it and let your body adjust. And then on the other side of that, the fiber, the seeds and stuff, make sure if you're going to be eating a lot of seeds and things like that, that you chew them up. Because if you eat things like seeds that are whole, they can get lodged in the villi, which are, you know, the part of the lining of our intestinal tract, and cause diverticulitis and irritations and things like that. So it's important that we chew our foods completely, especially things like that that are going to be small, and that we don't overdo fiber too quickly. Move into it slowly.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, the fourth guiding principle in the guiding principles is slow and steady. And that encompasses everything. Those who run or try to run through this trip too many times wind up staying here longer than those who learn that slow and steady has to do with dedication, regimentation, a willingness to change. I mean, there's so many things involved. But you don't want to stress, and I don't think I had any sugar for 5 years. None, zero, nine. That's part of why I got well. All right, so we have a hand up, and you were second, but I'm going to let you go first because you got your hand up. Okay. Yes, Diane and Paul.
Yeah, hi. This is very, very informative. So it's led us to a question. We're reading all the different recipes, and I've started making, like, the cornbread and the hamburger buns.
All right, time out. The hamburger buns? By the little 8-year-old Carrie?
Yeah.
All right. Good biscuits, too.
Yeah. But we're just wondering if we can OD on that and eat too much of it. And I'm wondering, everybody talks about not too many carbs. Is there, and everybody's different, I realize that, but
well,
we're like...
Two answers, real quick. Slow and steady, okay? And I said it before, everything's in moderation here.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a food journal. You're going to find out in a big hurry what you can and cannot do. So I keep saying, and again, in the post, in the forum, that's probably dated yesterday or the day before, where it talks about this call today, this call on diet, there is a book, and you should look at this book. This is the book that you need to get well anyway, and one of the sections in this binder should be diet. And the more you put in what you do, the more you understand exactly what your body can do. Because you might not be able to do what others can. We're all different.
Yeah, but we're enjoying it. We're enjoying all the breads and stuff. I just don't know if maybe we're having too much. We seem to be, our weight has leveled off. We both kind of stopped losing weight. So that's a good thing.
Symptoms that you relate to the food?
Sorry?
Are you having more symptoms that you feel you can relate to the food?
Having more symptoms?
Are you having more symptoms that you feel you could relate to this food?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Because that little 7-year-old is now 14. I'm looking at two pictures her father just sent me. I can't believe what a beautiful young lady she's turned out to be. He sent me a thank you letter only 8 years after the whole family's better.
Yeah, we love those hamburger buns. Those are great.
This little girl has 90% of my old train set.
Well, is there a maximum amount of carbs per day that you should shoot for?
Yeah, put carbs in the search engine. Read everything. Karen has her limit. Some people can do that. Some people can do more. But just put the word carbs. That's all you need to do. You use this search engine. You use as few words as possible to get a more diverse, a more direct, a defined search. So you put carbs. You'll spend, 30, 40 minutes reading 7, 10 articles. You'll know everything. You'll know more than I do.
Does John have any input on that?
I would just say that one of Mel's mantras is that everyone is unique and different. We can have guidelines to go by, but bottom line, I'm one of these people that I am a slow metabolizer, so I can't do just protein. I've got to have a certain amount of carbs or I get slow. And if you link it back to the explanation or the illustration that we talked about earlier with the logs versus the paper, for me, I've got to have a certain amount of paper in the mix or I don't have energy like I need to. But other people can really go and do much better with less carbs. So there are rules, but rules are general, and every individual person has to figure out what works best for them. Bottom line, though, the rules are eat plenty of fiber-rich vegetables, dark leafy greens, and then those are your complex carbs, those and fruits, apples, pears, peaches, and berries are your lower GI fruits, lower glycemic index fruit. Want to limit tropical fruits, and I'm talking to people that are down the road a little and have their life back. People in the beginning want to eliminate all refined carbs and limit even the blueberries, raspberries are your berries, and no bananas because they're high in sugar.
All right, John, let me keep going because we got a lot of people here today and I want everyone to get a chance. Okay, Tia, what do you want to say?
I just want to add quickly for them. It's just to make sure when they're making, this goes for anyone, I guess, when you get the recipe off the site and you make it, be sure that you are always checking because sometimes people's almond flour is going to be a little bit different than a different brand that they buy. So make sure that you're always computing up your carbs when you make it yourself. And rule of thumb is, I think Joe may have said it, Karen has always said, usually around 30 to 40 carbs per day.
there again, if you have specific health issues that may fluctuate, but just check your items that you're actually using, just to be sure.
Okay. There's also a picture in many parts of the delicious recipe, which has the formula of net carbs minus, what was it, protein?
Fiber.
Fiber. Thank you, guys. You see, I didn't even know those things when I was sick. I just ate like a rabbit.
She says 30 to 40.
Okay, hang on there now. I got to mute them. Okay. So, anything else, Donald, real quick?
Yeah, one other thing that you said, Mel, you said the two fruits that you ate were, in the old days, I thought you said blueberries and strawberries, but today you said strawberries and raspberries. So I just wanted to...
Well, I meant to say blueberries, but I actually also now eat raspberries.
Okay. So at the beginning, blueberries and strawberries.
Blueberries and strawberries, and not a lot.
No.
Okay? But I mean, I had some flavor in the bland, you know what I mean? When I say not a lot, I don't mean a handful or a glassful. I mean, you know, maybe 10, 12 blueberries, maybe 4, maybe 5 strawberries. You know what I mean?
But, yeah, that's a small amount. Okay.
Right, they are small amounts. And a lot of people today who use whey protein and make shakes put the berries if they find those berries are okay for them. And again, if you're going to try berries, you don't try a lot. Maybe you try 3 strawberries. Maybe you try 6, 7 blueberries. And in your book, you write how you were the next day, and you attribute how you're feeling to the berries. And that way, you got an idea. Now, a lot of people, and I never did it, ate Granny Smith apples, okay? But I like those Red Delicious, which I have maybe 3 or 4 a year. But I do like pears, and I usually give them away to one of the young kids who lives across the hall. I mean, but I still eat blueberries and strawberries because I just, you know, and I eat more than a little now, but not a lot and not all the time. Sometimes I'll buy those things, and because it's only me, they go bad because I won't eat a lot. But I like them. And that's what I talk about moderation when you get well. So, thanks for the clarity. Now let's get on to, wait a minute. Did she leave? Oh, she just left. All righty. So, I was going to get on to... Nancy, but she left us, okay? So now let me see. Okay. So now we have Ruth Ann. Hi, Ruth Ann. Hello, Ruth Ann.
Hello, everybody. I think that my comment would be that when I was beginning this, it was overwhelming to me, this diet thing. And I just want to say to all the new people that if it's overwhelming to you, it's not unusual because we had such a different kind of diet before. I grew up on a farm and we just grew our own food. So we ate that way. But then when I got away from home, I started eating processed food and things like that, and that was not good. But I did not realize there was no education. I did not realize that I was doing things that weren't right, good for my body. So, anyway, that's a comment I would make. That's it. I have no questions.
Thank you very much. Terry. Come in, Terry.
Yes, hi, everybody.
Right.
I'd like to welcome...
Terry, did Dakota get the email I sent him yesterday?
No, because he decided he was going to stay at Mama's yesterday. He didn't come to Nana's.
Oh, did you?
So I'm going to show it to him tomorrow.
Oh, but you got it.
Yes, I did. Thank you. Thank you, Mel. Mel sends my grandson all kinds of train videos, and my grandson's crazy over trains, so Mel's a wonderful man. But I wanted, for all the newbies, I just want to welcome you all and let you know that you're all at the, in the right place, because Mel is a terrific person. He has gotten hundreds of people well, and I'm 98% there. And I had a little slip back because I decided I was going to put some coffee creamer in coffee that I hadn't had in over 3 years. So because of that, now I've probably set myself back a couple months, which I hate myself for. But this is why you have to be careful on the diet. You have to watch everything you put in your mouth. And I never, for 3.5 years, put one thing bad in my mouth until last week. And I decided I was feeling so great, I wanted something good. And you can't do it. So I'm just warning you all, stay on the diet and behave yourself, and you'll get well. Mel will get you there, I promise.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Atlanta.
Hi, Mel. How are everybody? Yes, please. First about the coffee. I drink decaf coffee. Is that bad for you?
I won't answer that because I never drank it. John, decaf coffee?
Well, caffeine, is, at least in the beginning, is kind of counterproductive because it's stimulant and it, it raises cortisol levels. And in general, it's just kind of counterproductive. But I understand, some folks really can't function very well without it. I'm one of them. Just realize, though, that decaf coffee actually has half as much caffeine in it as regular coffee. It's not caffeine free. It's just half as much. And then you also have to contend with whatever they use to decaffeinate the coffee with, which in some cases they use toxic products to do that. So I don't use decaffeinated coffee myself because of that. And for me, I'm having to deal with the effects of using coffee because I can't seem to function without it. But it is counterproductive, especially early on. So that's something to consider, as you plan how you're going to go about setting up your regimen and your diet and your lifestyle.
Thanks, John. Joe, anything to say on this?
Nope, nothing further from me. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to add that in the same thread in the forum, delicious recipes for 2020, 19, 18, 17, 16. There are alternatives for coffees right around Carrie's Buns. Somewhere in there, the girls made a couple of posts about some alternative beans or nuts that they were using for coffee and were happy. But I don't believe that those things had caffeine. And let me tell you, you don't want to excite the disease on any level. And I promise you, might not be that first cup of coffee, but when you have two, boom, you start to just, it's like somebody put a light switch on. Okay? And it's like there's a current running through you now. That's how I relate to coffee. I did, and I love coffee. Kids, I drink coffee too much. But I didn't for 5 years. Again, this protocol calls for people who love life, and they're going to make the necessary adjustments to get to the finish line. And I believe that coffee is not a good thing. You need to find some kind of substitute. You might even put coffee substitutes in Google search engine and get other nuts and beans that may work. But you're going to have to look around for something, because I'm telling you, that second cup of coffee is going to just get all those endorphins moving. All right. And I know, because I'm a coffee drinker. I know what it takes to get me charged up, even today. But I promise I never, never have more than two cups of coffee. And I rotate with herbal teas, even though I don't care for them as much, because they're much better for me. So again, it's a little bit of moderation. All right. So, Catherine of the Desert, hi.
Hello, everyone. I just have a quick...
Catherine, I'm sorry I missed you yesterday afternoon, but we had 1,407 people visit the website.
Okay. I just have a quick question. Everybody talks about rice cauliflower being so good, and I have found rice cauliflower to be nothing but mush. Can someone tell me how they prepare rice cauliflower that's good?
Why don't I give, let's, anybody have a volunteer here? I'm going to give her, I'm going to have you call her and tell her off the call and then make a post. Come on, Tia. You could do this, right, Tia? Tia says yes and Terry says yes.
You were reading my mind. I fry mine.
Time out. Not today. Okay. You're going to get her phone number, you and Terry are going to stay. I'm going to give you her number. Just remember, if you give her the recipe, make sure she tells you which camel will win the race tomorrow. All right.
Okay.
You're covered, Catherine of the Desert, because you're one of my all-time favorites. All right, last but not least, I got it. You two stay. Okay, Karen Laughing Bird is her nickname, folks. Go ahead.
Tweet, tweet. I just want to say this has been one of the best conference calls that I've listened to. Joe, you did a tremendous job. It's you put it in layman's terms and just basic facts and didn't go off the bunny trails. So excellent. And John, thank you for your annotations and remarks, and glad Karen could be there. I think just the one remark I would make is, and I probably made it sometime before, but really I just totally believe sugar is the criminal and not saturated fat. And I don't know if either of you want to comment on that, but we've been fed a bunch of lies for a bunch of years, and that's all. Thank you.
Well, I concur that we've been fed a bunch of lies for a lot of years, because I've lived a lot of years. But, John, you want to say anything about that? Let's see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, sure we can.
Okay, I didn't know if I was still live. So, yeah, there is a big issue, big problem in terms of, you know, the messaging that has taken place in our country regarding fat in our diet. And it's all been part of that whole, you know, cabal of big industry that's controlling our lives more and more every day. But, you know, that part that represents our food sources has been demonizing saturated fat for a long time now, and demonizing cholesterol, and it's all a big lie. Cholesterol is absolutely critical for the functioning of our body, which is why God made us able to manufacture it in our liver. So saturated fats and plant-based fats that are healthy, like coconut oil, medium chain triglycerides, the body won't store those types of fats. It uses them for energy. But the unsaturated fats, the vegetable oils and things that, you know, we've been had pushed on us, margarine, those things, the body doesn't really know how to contend with it. It doesn't know what to do with it.
Well, they're all processed.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes the natural complexity of what it once was.
Yep.
So the human body doesn't know how to do this. What is this, a new message from a new planet?
Yeah, they basically clog up your metabolism in layman's terms.
In layman's terms, because then I understand it. Joe, you got anything to add here before we do a final closing from you boys?
The only thing I just really have to add, if it's more definitive, again, stay away from processed as much as possible, sugars as much as possible, refined carbs and sugars, and then get with Mel. Get with Mel for coaching needs and guidance. This is the place that we're all supposed to be at to kill this toxic disease. And so thankful to have all the new people and new page views on here, and it's only going to grow and get better. So thank you all for joining today.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. Thank you. I'm going to come back and say goodbye one more time, but I want to let John do a closing. Give us a closing, John. Do you have anything to say in closing, buddy?
I must have had my own mute button on. I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
I would like to
time out. As one of the longest tenures on our website, you broke the only rule. You're not allowed to say you're sorry.
Well, you're right. I did.
You know what Reese's says?
What?
Not sorry.
Well, I would just like to thank you again. I would have to agree this may be the best call I've ever participated in that you've done. It really had a lot of great information. And thank you, Joe. You're a blessing, brother. And I'm so thankful that you're here in our midst. You remind me a lot of Peter in terms of your knowledge and willingness to share it. That's awesome. Beautiful. This has been a great, great time together, and I look forward to seeing the lives transformed as a result of this information. Love you, brother.
Thanks, John. You know, I will go to my grave loving you, boy. Thanks for coming today. I knew this would be good for everybody. Joe, what do you know?
John and Mel, just thank you so much for your guidance in allowing me to support and give back to this community as much as I can. It's just so amazing the growth and development from me and Carrie Ann the last year being on this and not knowing what to do, over a year ago, and what's led us to this and how we've grown with it, and just the love and support that we have from you guys and that we can give back as much as possible to this community. That's our calling, to help with you, and we're just so blessed to have you at our corner too.
Well, I'm blessed to have you. And you know what I told Laughing Bird about a month ago?
What's that?
You're in trouble now. I have your number memorized.
Yep.
Thank you so much, John, Joe, and Karen, even though you're not here. A big thank you for stepping in and pitching in today. And I hope everybody learned something. And remember, prayer and fellowship, in the fellowship part of the day, is where relationships are made. And I'm telling you, people who are friends here, they're friends for the rest of their lives, really. Most of them. Anyhow, I want Tia and Terry to stay for a minute. I'll see the rest of you tomorrow. Thank you all for coming. Let's give a big thank you for John, Joe, and Karen. A one, a two, a three. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that you, Karen, laughing?
That's the laughing bird mating call.